Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We're back. It's 13 After. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. And let me introduce you to our special guest and our good friend, Paula Lovell. Paula has been with us before. She is the president of Lovell Communications Incorporated out of Nashville, Tennessee. Her agency handles marketing and public relations for a wide range of businesses, including retail services, manufacturing, and distribution. We'll get her to tell us a little bit more about that in just a little bit. She's also the deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, of the Atlanta Board of Directors, and she is going to return. I mentioned this earlier in the day. She's going to return to us later in the month when the Fed has their Federal Open Market Committee meeting. She's going to return to us and talk to us on that day, along with Eleanor Solomon, about the Fed's business for that day. But right now, we're going to talk about something entirely different. We're going to talk about guerrilla marketing and entrepreneurialism and women in the marketplace. Paula, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. I want you to know that your music and your enthusiasm get me jump started when I hear you in the morning.
Thank you.
You do a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that's my goal. That's my goal. Paula, you were telling me something a minute ago about a survey that you've just picked up. I have not seen this. You want to tell us about it?
Well, it's really interesting. The National Foundation for Women Business Owners just yesterday put out a study called Women-Owned Business in the United States 1999, and here's what they're saying. Now, there are 9.1 million women-owned businesses in the United States, which accounts for 38% of all firms, and they're employing more than 27.5 million people, and that generates $3.6 trillion in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
And they've got it's further broken down that 51% are in services, and so those listeners you have out there, if you're women like myself who own and started a business, 51% of us are in services with 18% in retail and 10% in finance. And what we've known for the last 5 or 6 years, oddly enough, is the most rapid growth in that area is construction. In other words, more women are getting into construction,
mm-hmm.
wholesale trade, agriculture, and manufacturing, which I find fascinating.
Well, I think I have noticed over the last 10 years or so, more and more young ladies are going into those disciplines in college.
That's right. And, of course, it's all done through computer now. We have, you mentioned the Fed in our annual report, which is just out, shows a picture of one of our board members who owns acres and acres and miles of cotton fields down south. And she's sitting there with a computer in the middle of the cotton field doing her business. I mean, she's a farmer, but she deals with computers.
High-tech farming.
That's right.
Well, that's a lot different from when I was on the farm.
Well, I've never been on the farm, but I don't think I'd be much of a computer person on a farm.
No, the old John Deere tractor that I drove wasn't very high-tech. Anyway, there's a couple of more things. I've got some information that I don't know if it was in your study, but some new information that I've gotten in on women in the marketplace, and that is that between 1987 and 1999, the number of women-owned firms in the U.S. increased 103%.
Isn't that great?
How about that? And employment grew at a rapid rate of 320% increase. This is women-owned business employment. And women-owned business sales skyrocketed, according to this report, 436%.
Hey, we must be doing something right.
Major contribution to the marketplace. And Paula, if you go back and you see where we are today compared to where we were in 92, one of the statistics that I love to talk about is that between 1992 and 1997, during that 5-year period, major corporations had a net reduction in jobs, a net reduction of 500,000 jobs.
Right.
And yet, during that same period, America where it was able to claim 12 million net new jobs.
And
now, that means that 12.5 million jobs were created, and since major corporations had a deficit, you and I both know where those 12.5 million jobs came from.
Absolutely.
And 38% of them, approximately, came from women starting their own businesses.
Well, and let me tell you one more thing, and as long as we're exchanging facts here that I hope your listeners find interesting, here's a reason, one of two, and I'll tell you, one of two reasons why even men should be interested in these statistics. This is a very interesting statistic put out by the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, and it's a program, it's a study that was sponsored by the Kauffman Center for Entrepreneur Leadership, which, of course, is renowned for its work in helping entrepreneurs. What that center does is to focus on the complex relationship between entrepreneurialism and economic growth. And here's what they're saying. They took a sample of 10 countries, and, of course, the U.S. was in there. And of the 10, Canada, the U.S., and Israel ranked the highest in terms of their entrepreneurial level, the levels of entrepreneurial activity. And the study said there were three general patterns. This is really interesting. A strong positive correlation exists between startup rates and general economic prosperity in the United States and in these other countries.
Mm-hmm.
No countries with high levels of startup rates, none of them, had low levels of economic growth. The two are always associated. And three, more than a third, or 36% of the variation in national economic growth is as a result of variations in startup rates. So over and over again, it proves that little business, small business, is, as you say, the economic engine of this country. And in the countries that had the highest level of economic activity, women have a particularly high rate of participation in business startups. So this is what the advice was to all the countries who were at the bottom of the scale. The report said, and this is a quote, countries that wish to increase the level of startup efforts may make major gains by helping women to become more involved. And, of course, we know that there are all kinds of great women's reasons for women to be involved in business. Remember that there are some special loan situations, and if you have a partnership with a woman and she owns 51% of your business, there's some, and your friend Whitney Johns can frequently talk about this,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the financing that you can get as a woman startup business.
She has an SBIC that focuses on women, doesn't she?
Exactly.
Small Business Investment Company. And, you know, another thing that's very interesting is that that I learned this week, actually, and that is that of all home-based businesses, do you know how many are men and how many are women? Now, this surprised me a little bit, but it sort of corresponds with the number that we've just given as far as how many women-owned businesses there are in America, period. There are 45% of all home-based businesses are women-owned. Did you know that? Would you have thought it would have been, there were more, would have been more than men?
Yes, I would have.
I would have too. But according to this report, 55% of home-based businesses are men, 45% are women. I've got another statistic that I want to give you about women in business when we come right back after these messages. It's with Paula, the example you gave just a minute ago. We'll be right back, folks. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame with Small Business Advocate. We're back. It's 24 after the hour. We're having a great visit with our good friend Paula Lovell. She is the president of Lovell & Associates, a PR firm out of Nashville, Tennessee. And Paula, when we took the break, you said something as we were talking about women-owned businesses and the great advent of women-owned businesses and how much they are contributing to the marketplace, and they are a major contribution. In fact, with the statistics that you brought to the show of 38% of all businesses are women-owned, and when you and I know how many new women-owned businesses have been created in this decade, and we realize how important small business has been to this economy, to the global economy,
mm-hmm.
that then you realize what a, you really kind of, once you dissect it a little bit, you break it down just in about two or three parts, you see how important women-owned businesses have been to America and indeed to the world. Another thing that you said, though, I thought was very interesting, that reminded me of something that was very interesting. You said 51% owned, that they have to be 51% owned to still qualify as a minority or a disadvantaged company. And that's one of the words that they use when they talk about women being, instead of being a minority company, I think the term that they use more now is economically disadvantaged, something like that. And then they have a separate category for minorities, such as African Americans, Hispanics, that sort of thing. But there's some new things coming down the pike, maybe some new rules for minorities that may ease up on that percentage, that may allow minority-owned businesses to take on partners, to have partners that would, where those partners, the total percentage of the non-minority ownership could be greater than 49%. And the reason is because there are some minority companies, some disadvantaged companies that now want to go public. and they cannot go public and effectively if the owner, the founder, has to maintain 51% ownership.
Right. You can't. Obviously, you don't know. You're selling it at the marketplace.
Absolutely. But apparently, they're talking about getting that down to like 20, 25%. I've forgotten the number, but the 20 number was used. It was 20, 21, 25, something like that. In other words, there would have to be that much of the company owned by minority, but the rest of it, the reciprocal of that number, would be able to be owned by anyone. It didn't matter who were the owners. Now, what I don't know is if that is only going to apply to those companies when they go public, not before, or if it will apply to, you know, just a privately held company. I don't know the answer to that because that was fairly new information that I saw recently, last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but there in the SBA office, there's a particular segment of that called Women Business Ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman named Sherry Henry.
Yes, she's been on the show before.
I was going to say Sherry would know the answer to that in a heartbeat, and you might want to get her back on to discuss that.
We will.
Let me know when you do because I want to be sure I'm listening.
I might invite you to join us.
Well, that would be great.
How about that?
She's a great lady and very talented and can talk a lot about that. But that's an interesting, you know, it's hard to imagine that they would let you go down as little as 20% equity because it seems like everybody on the face of the earth would start a business with a woman at 51% ownership and then immediately, you know, sad to say, but in the strategic plan, they'd say, okay, we're going to take her, you know, we're going to do this, that, and the other and take her down to 20%. And, you know, not fooling anybody, but just having that in the plan, and it just seems to go counter to what the whole purpose is.
Well, I agree, and I want to make sure that people understand that we're not the reason that I reported this information was to let you know that there are people focusing on these issues, and there probably are going to be certain parameters. So I don't want anyone to go out there saying, Jim Blasingame said that the new rule for minority is now 20%.
Right.
I don't want anybody to say that. I just wanted you to by me mentioning it to you folks, next time, sometime in the next few days, you'll hear something about this, and so perk your ears up a little bit and pay attention because it could be very beneficial. And one of the things that the reason why, Paula, that you and I are talking about this is because capital acquisition is essential to the long-term health and success of any small business. You and I both know that being undercapitalized causes more businesses to go out of business than not having a good plan.
Well, that's right. It's the number one reason for failure. And there's so much good support out there now from groups, you know, like NABO and like the National Foundation and like the Small Business Association that can really advise people on how to write a business plan. And, you know, I always say you got to write that feasibility in a business plan and it's got to pay. Basically, you use it for not running your business, but the second most important thing is to borrow money.
Absolutely.
You use that plan to borrow money. And if you write a good business plan and it makes sense in this economy, you can pretty much get some support, get raised some capital somewhere.
You're the second person in 3 days who has said on this show, if you've got a good idea and you put it together in a good plan, you should be able to get the capital you need.
I think the money's out there.
Yeah. Stand by, Paula. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. Having a great visit with our good friend, Paula Lovell. We'll be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. We are back. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, join me and my special guest, our good friend Paula Lovell, the president of Lovell & Associates. If you'd like to give us a call, make a comment, ask a question, argue with us, disagree with us, either one of those, that'd be fine. 888-822-8255. What we've been talking about up to now is Paula has been providing us with some information on women in business. We've talked a little bit about some minority issues. And, Paula, before we move on, because ultimately in this hour we're going to get into some guerrilla marketing discussion, but before we go on, I'd like for you to talk to us about your website and your phone number.
Sure. What I wanted to say was that I've had some people email me since the last time I was on the air with you and got some good information. One man in particular talking about the Federal Reserve Bank, and we went back and forth a little bit, and then I went on vacation and couldn't continue that dialogue, but I appreciated the comment. And that what it made me think of is we've talked about small business, we've talked about women, and it's very important that small business owners recognize the impact they can have in the process of deciding what the Federal Reserve Bank does about the economy vis-a-vis interest rates and what we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks out of the FOMC. So what I'm suggesting is if my email is lovell@lovell.com, and that's spelled L-O-V-E-L-L, lovell@lovell.com, And any of your listeners who want to send me information about what they think is happening with the economy, you know, we have some new numbers out that show the wages are up. We're all having to pay a little bit more for our labor force. But what we do once a week as a board member of the Fed is to go in there and meet and exchange anecdotal and statistical information that we get from different ways that we have of reaching out to communities. This is one way through your show to reach out to small business owners and entrepreneurs and say, hey, what do you want to talk to the Fed about? What do you want to tell them about how you feel about the economy? Is it, are you, and the specific questions that are important are you on budget compared to last year? Are you doing better than last year? Are there any inventory aberrations that look odd to you? Are things building up? Are things, can you not get supplies? Very important, have you had to raise wages? Very important question, how are your profits? Are you as profitable this year as last year? And then projecting forward to the end of the year, do you see yourself and your business on track with where you anticipated you would be, or are you going to do better or worse than last year? And we get all that kinds of information, put it together, and say, hey, and I can go in there and say, hey, you know, I've through the Jim Bossingame show, I've gotten calls or emails from dozens of people who are telling me that the economy's strong, their confidence is strong, and things look good, or that we can say, well, it's so strong that the labor force has gotten too tight and they don't think the wage increase has stopped yet. Any kind of anecdotal information anybody wants to send me, we'll use it anonymously, of course, unless you don't care and you tell me you don't care, but it will be used anonymously to put in the pot, stir the pot, and let the people who make the decisions at the Federal Reserve Bank and on the FOMC know straight from the horse's mouth what some small business owners are saying about this economy.
And you know, folks, that's, as I've told you before, Paula is deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, and she's been with us before talking about these issues. And, you know, Paula, I'm going to wager that 999 out of 1,000 small business owners did not know before, unless they heard you say this on the show the last time you were here, which you did, or unless they've been listening to my show and when we've talked about this with other people who work for the Fed. Most of those, 909 out of 1,000 small business owners did not know that they could actually contribute to the decision that the Fed makes.
Well, not only can they, they're most encouraged to do so because it's very hard to track small business numbers unless you get it anecdotally. I mean, you know, it's easy to know, to call up a giant, you know, a Dell or a telephone company.
Well, you usually don't have to call those guys. They'll call you, won't they?
Well, that's right. And, you know, they'll talk to you and tell you what's going on, or you just read the statistics. But small business, especially startup business, there are all kinds of issues that aren't reported through the numbers, particularly some kinds of payroll numbers.
Well, let me remind the folks, if anybody's out there, if there are any doubting Thomases out there, if you're out there listening and you're thinking, yeah, sure, let me remind you about what the lady does who's talking to you right now. Paula, you are a small business owner. You are a classic small business owner, right?
Very small.
I mean, how many employees do you have?
Eight.
She has eight employees, ladies and gentlemen. She is deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. Now, we're not talking about the lady who's the president of HP, of Hewlett Packard. We're talking about a small business owner. She's on the Fed board in Atlanta. So that tells you that the Fed is definitely interested in keeping in touch with folks like you and me.
Well, and that's right, and that's particularly why I'm on the board, and why, not for any economic, I'm certainly not an economist, that's for sure. So,
Not because you've got you've got the ability to make a big difference in the stock market with the shares of your company or your deposits. Yeah, but now we're working on that though, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm into growth. I've just started a mentoring program with some exciting people, and
right.
We're going to grow the business, and I'm excited about that. I'll listen, get some facts and tips off of your show. And by the way, I mentioned that you and your producer, James, do a great job picking that music because it's very uplifting. And those of us who are kind of in this genre or in this, let me just say, age group where most of us are who have businesses, love that music, and you're doing a great job with that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Paula. Paula, we've got to take a quick break. What are some of the guerrilla marketing? Give us a couple of quick guerrilla marketing tips before we go into the break that we'll be talking about when we come back.
All right. Well, I want to do a little what I call my media blitz training.
All right. So media blitz training, folks, when we come back. It's 39 after the hour. Paula Lovell is our special guest and our good friend. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. If you have a question or a comment, 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. One of my heroes is also our special guest and our good friend. She's my hero because she is also, as I am, and as most of you are, a small business owner. Her name is Paula Lovell. She is the president and the founder of Lovell Communications Incorporated out of Nashville, Tennessee. Paula, give us your website and a phone number if you like.
The website is lovell.com.
Two L's.
That's right, L-O-V-E-L-L. And the phone number is 615-297-7766. And I'll tell you, if you you can go on the website and get some free PR tips that I've got on there. And if you want to email me from there, we're getting ready to do a little media training here. But if you listen and you like a little bit of what you hear, I've got a little booklet I can send you. You can keep in your breast coat pocket or in your purse, depending on whether you're a woman business owner or a man. And,
wait a minute. You don't know that I don't carry a purse, Paula.
Well, listen, I had a date with a guy the other night. Boy, was I shocked.
Oh, no.
But he was from Italy, and I had to excuse him. So
I see.
And he wore tight pants, too. And I said, the pants and the purse, I'm not sure I can get over this.
I see.
And he said,
TMI. No, Paula, TMI. What? Too much information.
Well, he was European. He got away with it.
Okay.
But I will send this little brochure if anybody wants free tips and they can add it to their library.
All right, good. And if someone wanted to contact you, what would you be able to talk to them about in your public relations firm?
Oh, heavens. We can talk about anything from direct mail to brochures, but lots of times we just do a quick strategy of where you are with your business plan and what you need to do either to launch the company or to make... Really, we're in the top-of-mind awareness business. You've got a customer... That customer does, you know that person's a potential customer, but you can't make that customer listen to you or notice you and come in and buy that product or buy that service. And we find the channel of communications that goes from your business to that customer and make them their head pop up and say, wait a minute, that's some business I want to have something to do with.
Right.
And
right.
There are all kinds of ways to do that, direct mail, brochures, advertising, media, you know, free stories in the newspaper.
So if you'll email her at lovell.com, if you go to lovell.com and email her from there, in addition to if you wanted to find out about if Paula has something in her business that would help you, that if you guys could work together. Also, you can as she mentioned earlier, you can make any comments you wanted to that might contribute to her activities with the Fed. Let's talk about guerrilla marketing. You have something that you were going to tell us about that.
Yeah, I want to say that I think the most effective thing a small business person can do is to get a relationship going with the media. And to know who the reporters are who are covering your kind of information. Call them up, introduce yourself, and say, I'm not calling you for a story. Make that first contact. This is the business I'm in. I just want to tell you I'm in this business because the time is going to come when you may need someone to comment about this area, this industry, or small business, or being a woman growing a business, and say, let me just send you my business card and a brochure or a letter on a letterhead, something they can keep in their file, because in this day of computers, they still do keep files. And send them something, so I just want you to know I'm out here. But then, that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think almost every single person listening to your show today has a story they can tell about their business. It can be either a growth story, like, wow, we grew 100% last year, and that's we're a small business, and here's and the local newspaper or business news is going to be interested in that, or we've got a new quirky new product, or we've discovered a trend in our industry that is right here local to Nashville, Tennessee, or to Pulaski, or whatever town you're from. And you can call the newspaper and pitch that story with a press release, and here's quickly the way you do that. The first thing you do is think about, if you owned the newspaper and you could write a story with a headline, what would the headline, in a perfect world, what would the headline say? Now, obviously, in my perfect world, the headline would have my business name in it. It would say, Lovell Communications is top dog. Or, you know, whatever, think about what that headline would be and keep that in the back of your mind and write three messages down on paper that are one or two sentences each. And stick with that and don't vary from that. Focus on your three messages that are about your company and continuous, and then sort of do like the Wall Street Journal does. Lay down your facts under that and write a press release or call the media and say, I've got a story to tell you and here are three messages I want you to hear about that. You know, and we all know in marketing, guerrilla marketing or any kind of marketing, that when you're doing that, always talk in terms of what's in this for the listener. Instead of saying, you know, this is Jim Blassingame, let me tell you about my show and how good my show is, what you do, Jim, and what a good marketer does is say, hey, let me tell you what's going to be in this for you. Let me tell you what you can learn today. Let me tell you what I can sell you today that is going to make your life easier. And
help you be more successful.
That's right. Save you time or save you money, but either way, it's going to talk to what your needs are. And that kind of thing will drive an interview.
Now, one of the things when you there are some things that you have to pay attention to when you're trying to get that kind of publicity. You need to first look at the media that you're thinking about going to, whether it be radio, television, print, whatever. And you sort of have to see what they're already doing, don't you? I mean, so
you
that
do.
you can model what you're going to do into what fits them, what they're doing.
Well, you really do, and there's nothing I can think of that irritates a reporter more than when they say, "Have you read our publication?"
Right.
You better say, "You betcha. I not only read it, I subscribe to it, I look at it every day."
Absolutely.
And you'll know. I mean, in your local paper, you know who does the healthcare news. You know who does the engineering and
right.
industrial news. The same reporters do it over and over again. Now, granted, there's a huge amount of turnover, especially in newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing to remember. So you have to watch this week who's covering your industry, not just last week. The other thing that's really, really significant, I really want to not forget this, most reporters are young. Most reporters are learning the business of writing about business, and you can help them. You can say, not in a condescending way, "Hey, let me tell you about this industry and a trend going on and what I do." And you can educate reporters, and they will love you for it.
You don't have to teach them how to write the article. You just have to tell them the information, the content of the information, that they will write the article around. Stand by, Paula. We've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 after the hour. I'm sorry, it's 50 after the hour. And we're going to be right back with Paula Lovell, and we're going to talk some more about guerrilla marketing as we wrap up the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Paula Lovell. Let me tell you about some of the shows that are coming up next. Andrew Sherman is an attorney out of Washington, D.C., and he's written a book about franchising. And we're going to be talking about how to acquire a franchise. And that's his expertise, and he's been with us before. Looking forward to having Andrew back on the show. Also, Doug Stives, our resident CPA, is going to be back with us, and we're going to be talking about some things, some accounting and finance issues that are important to your small business. Also, later in the week, Sarah Calvert, our resident small business attorney. Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters will be back with us. Jonathan Zuck will be joining us to talk to us about high tech. And John McKegney with the Credit Union Organization will be talking to us about some policy issues. All that good stuff coming up this week. Paula Lovell is our special guest, as I mentioned. Paula, let's continue our discussion as we wrap up the hour on guerrilla marketing.
Sure. I just want to mention that folks ought to always remember the civic involvement, because if you serve on a board or you go out and you help build a house, Habitat for Humanity, or you're involved in the national cancer programs or the events of your local community, that is going to get you public recognition with all the other people who are involved, and it'll get you frequently a write-up in the paper, a great photo opportunity. It's a great way to network, and you know, those of us in small business, we don't have a lot of money. We're not throwing money around. We can't go in there and be a board member of an organization and give them $10,000 for their capital campaign, but we can give them time, energy, and expertise. And what I say to my clients is this: look, if you're an accountant or a lawyer or some kind of consultant or whatever your business is, and you take the time to serve on a board, raise your hand during every board meeting and make a contribution, because you don't want to be a figurehead. Our time is too valuable to go in there and sit and listen. We want to go in there and sit and contribute. And so that people say, because, you know, I go into a board meeting and I say, "Okay, I want to be on the marketing committee." Great. And then when we have board meetings and they say, "Okay, here's something we're going to look at. What does everybody think of this?" I always raise my hand and make a marketing comment.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other dozen people on there, on that board, when they get ready to hire a marketing person, they say, "You know that woman, what's her name, Paula Lovell, who always makes a comment about marketing in that board meeting." And they'll do the same thing for every kind of business person if you contribute to the board.
And you kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly.
Not only do you do the marketing that she said, but as she does very well, because I have a list of the things that she's involved in, which includes the Chamber of Commerce and the Boy Scouts of America, that Paula is involved in her time as a volunteer, you also help the charity.
Oh, absolutely. And it feels good. And, you know,
yeah.
it's a good way to – it's also a great mentoring group. You know, you get in there, there are other people who are in the same boat we're in. They've got new businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We put our heads together, and, you know, we have a side trip as a luncheon, and we act as a mentoring peer group.
One of the things that I've seen on boards that I've been on, Paula, is the opposite of what you just said, and it's really disappointing, and it's unfortunate, and that is people who are asked to join a board and they accept, and then they attend the meetings. Or maybe they don't do a good job of attending the meetings, but even when they're there, I mean, I have sat on boards with people for 3 years, and they never opened their mouth.
Well, they're doing a disservice to themselves and the board.
That's right.
And, you know, they're wasting their time.
What I mean, there have you heard people say that, you know, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and let them know you're a fool. But that goes, you can take that too far, can't you?
Absolutely. You know, and I just believe in the old saying, what goes around comes around. And you contribute. Everybody, you know, it falls under the category, in my opinion, of shameless self-promotion. And I may have mentioned this last time. I love to give speeches on it. Shameless self-promotion. We all should be proud of what we do. And remember, the opposite of shameless is shameful. None of us are shameful about what we do.
Right.
We've got areas of expertise we can lend to lots of people. And the more you lend it and the more you share it, the more it comes back to you.
Paula, that's got to be the last word. As always, you did a great job. Thank you very much. Looking forward to our next visit.
Thank you.
See you later. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, just like Paula Lovell. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.